not quite one-fourth, and never just half, but the entirety of one primate, whole. It is the part of a story, an idea that means more to you than me. Hello and welcome to Full Gorilla Life. We are Jeremy Keene,
Larry Medina,
and Corey Hewlings.
Each week, we will break down an important life concept or talk with an inspiring person so that you can live your full gorilla life. And welcome back to another episode of Full Gorilla Life. We are in studio with Mackenzie Flincham, a registered dietitian and personal trainer, and a competitive CrossFit Games athlete. Did I say the name correct?
You did.
Awesome. Ooh. All right. So we're looking forward to this, but before we jump all the way into that, we have the Gorilla Gauntlet. So Corey's going to ask you a few rapid fire questions to get to know you.
Sounds good.
All right. Married or single or dating?
Single.
All right. Any children?
No.
City you live in?
What's that?
What city do you?
Oh, Vero Beach.
Jeez, I got a case of the Toms.
Yeah, you do. By the way, Tom's when he mumbles. It's a
we have a friend named Tom.
Okay.
So if mumbles. You start mumbling, we'll say you got a case of the Toms.
I just stutter a little bit sometimes.
That's okay.
It's called
that's
the Toms.
Not Toms, though. No.
Yeah. A little bit of both.
Favorite movie or book?
I don't know. Honestly, this is a terrible question for me. I don't like have a favorite.
Okay.
I don't really watch a lot of movies.
Okay. Who's your like favorite, like being at your workout, like guru, all right? Mm-hmm. Who's like your favorite, like idol, like workout person?
I don't know. I feel like I have to say Tia Toomey. She's just an animal.
Okay. She is. She's okay. Ridiculous.
Yeah. No, she is.
I'm going to nod like I know who that is.
She's an Australian.
Okay.
She's
helps.
Champion. Yeah. Yeah.
No, she's doesn't. Just good at everything.
Okay.
Wins everything.
Yeah, wasn't she
really didn't she compete? Oh, I like winners.
Right.
She's who champion. Doesn't? She's CrossFit champion.
Didn't she compete in the Olympics? Or is she, yes. She tried out for the Olympics?
No, right? Weightlifting. Yeah.
She did the games in July at that time and then went 3 weeks later and competed in
the Olympics.
What was 2016's?
Yeah.
I forget where it was.
That's
at.
Pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Favorite genre of music?
Again, I don't really care.
You don't use it.
What do you throw on when you're working out?
Yeah.
People are going to think I'm crazy sometimes. No. I just work out in silence.
You know what? No, I can appreciate that.
No. So, no, that's crazy. Yeah.
That's some David Goggins stuff.
It is.
Have you heard of David Goggins?
No.
Okay. So that's what he talks about. So David Goggins is like an ultra marathoner.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks
and
about...
Navy SEAL.
And a Navy SEAL.
Okay. Let's start with that.
Yeah. My bad. and a Ranger, if we're going to go down that road. Yeah. Right? So he's a Ranger... Navy SEAL, ultra marathoner, and he's just like a crazy man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he talks about. He says when he works out, he doesn't want to hear anything because he wants to go through the suffering and feel the suffering.
Yeah. If I'm in the middle of a hard workout, I don't hear anything around me. If I'm just going and like lifting or doing like accessory work or bodybuilding type stuff, then I'm happy with music on. But I don't really have a favorite. I guess I like hip hop and pop stuff. Sometimes I get in country moods and I don't know, just kind of whatever.
A true generalist.
The only thing I don't CrossFit like to style. Listen to when I'm training is reggae.
Okay. I can see that. I would
probably get your balance off.
Yeah. I would not. Yeah. I wouldn't want to listen to Marley. Like I want to be on a boat when I'm listening to Marley.
Yeah. That's about it. And I personally want to have a drink in my hand.
Okay. I can see that.
One-handed handstands with a drink.
No, both hands are taken.
Yeah. Reservation or just walk-in? Like at a restaurant.
Oh. Walk-in.
Favorite type of food?
Cake.
I love it. Okay. I love it.
Okay. Is there a certain cake that you like?
Cookie cake.
Yes.
Now, mind you, we're staring at somebody that what you got to have like 1% body fat, and she says her favorite type of food is cake.
Meanwhile,
I have a huge sweet tooth. I think I eat desserts like most days.
Okay. You got to get to a point.
Aren't you
do
supposed
that.
To, though?
We'll talk about this.
Like, yeah. As a dietitian, like, isn't it healthy to eat desserts most days?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. That's okay. All I learned.
Yeah. All right.
That's all I learned.
What type of vehicle do you drive?
Honda CR-V.
And beer, whiskey, or wine?
Or none.
Water. No, I like wine.
Wine?
Yeah, okay. I like red wine.
Red wine? Okay.
All right. I thought we were going to meet a second person because Corey's never had a drink in his life.
Yeah.
He just looks drunk.
Yeah. I just act it.
Yeah.
I don't need that as social lubricant.
Yeah, you're good without it, I think. That's for sure.
So I'm assuming, though, that means that you don't really drink much, right? Because, I mean.
No. Occasionally I'll have a glass of wine or a drink, but yeah, I really don't.
Now, does that get you pretty drunk when you have one glass then?
A sip and I feel it, yeah.
Yeah, my wife is like a half a beer in and she's like,
loopy.
Yeah. Like Larry knows.
She wants to start. Knows, like, she starts laughing and it's the greatest thing ever.
It's like a half of like a Bud Light. It's not even anything crazy.
I get that.
Yeah. All right. So you started CrossFitting, right? So, I mean, if it's okay, we can start off with that because you started back in 2016 here at the local gym. Well, actually, I saw a little bit before that. It looks like you were in karate.
Mm-hmm. Karate and gymnastics growing up.
Okay. So you've always been in some kind of competitive. Now, did you compete in karate?
Mm-hmm.
What style of karate?
Shorinryu.
Okay. All right. So point fighting?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
Did you ever break anybody's nose?
No.
It's quite, my wife was a black belt in high school through karate. I don't know what type of karate, but she did karate.
She told me she broke somebody's rib.
Yeah. She was very proud of it because the guy, she said the dude was a jerk. So like when they had to spar, she kind of thinks she might have done it on purpose. I don't know.
Yeah. So my favorite karate story is when I was a kid. I was in class and some kid got hit like in the groin and the kid was out, like he was out of breath forever. But then the coach grabbed his belt and pulled him up and like he was fixed in like no time. I thought it was the weirdest thing ever.
First off, I never knew you were in karate. Okay, so let's start there.
Oh, wait, second. If we're sharing our favorite karate stories,
that's not, but we are now.
Mine is Karate Kid.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you feel that doing like the competitive karate and gymnastics gave you a pretty good foundation for fitness to kind of go into where you're at now?
Absolutely.
Is that a big reason to maybe get you where you are?
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah.
Did you just go into karate like you wanted to like be kung fu, or did somebody push you that way?
I wanted to be kung fu.
Okay.
No, when I was, I have three brothers.
Make me kung fu. Yes.
My older brother started first. My mom put him in karate, and then my middle brother and I started like, I don't know, a year or two after. And I was super excited to start. I think we just were watching him and really wanted to get involved. And my parents wanted us involved just for the discipline and, you know, to have a sport. And then I also had done gymnastics at the time. I started that when I was like two.
Did you do competitive gymnastics as well?
Mm-hmm. Through high school.
That's a lot of traveling, a lot of trips, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of the karate tournaments were overseas. So we actually got to travel a lot for that. Gymnastics was mostly just statewide, sometimes nation.
Now, before we started recording, I think you said you moved here in 2016. Where are you originally from?
No, I'm from here.
Oh, okay.
I was away for a few years for school, and then I was in Orlando for my nutrition internship to become an RD, and then after I finished that, then I moved back.
Okay,
got it. So I was born and raised in Vero.
What is RD for the layman folks?
Registered dietitian.
I knew that. So you had three brothers, you said. Older, younger?
I have one older, two younger.
Okay. So are they also still competitive like you, or like you can kick their asses now?
Oh, I can kick their asses now.
Okay. How does that feel?
I'm the boss.
Great, right?
I like it.
That's got to feel great, right?
Walk in, I own the room, guys. Yeah. All right.
I definitely boss them around a bit, but they're all bigger than me, so.
Okay.
Yeah, but can they take a karate kick to the face?
Yeah.
No, they can't.
They were all very competitive and very gifted in karate. They trained really hard and they all were really, really good at their sport. But I'm the only one who still competes in a sport.
Okay. So you traveled overseas. Sorry. No, yeah. No. Yes. So you traveled overseas.
Mm-hmm.
What is the coolest spot that you went to that you're like, this is place amazing, I would like to come back?
I went to Japan when I was like 10 or 11 and that was cool. I mean, I was young, so I don't remember a ton of it, but I remember it being completely different than anything I'd ever seen. And then I've also been to Brazil, but it's not something that, you know, a place I'd want to move to. Actually, my older brother lives in Brazil.
Does he really?
Mm-hmm.
What made him go there?
He went there for school. He got his master's degree in ocean engineering there, and he has a lot of friends there, and he really likes it there. So he's
okay. Cool.
He's still there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So have you been back to Japan?
No.
No? Okay. Would you want to go back?
I think there's other places I'd rather go first.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's fair.
So, registered dietitian, what made you go that route?
When I was in high school, I started getting interested in food, nutrition, and actually paying attention to what I was eating and, you know, reading food labels and it just became an interest of mine, and I was interested in like fueling my body for sports and training. I never really knew exactly what I wanted to do in college. It's, some people are like, I want to be a doctor, or I want to be a firefighter, or whatever. I'm like, I don't know what to do. My mom actually recommended that I, you know, she's like, why don't you try nutrition? Like, you're really interested in it lately. And, you know, I went that route, and I still wasn't really sure, but that's because I was in a lot of those gen ed classes where you're just taking biology and chemistry and getting your ass kicked in these weed out classes.
Right.
But once I actually got into my nutrition classes, in the last couple of years, I fell in love with it, and I became more and more passionate about it as I, you know, practice it in my own life, and my whole life revolves around fitness and nutrition now.
Do you feel, I feel like a lot of the nutrition books that I've read, I try to read all the different ones that come out. It's just my, one of my things I like to get into, even though I don't look like it. Do you feel like what you learned in school is what you still, like, do you, I'm sure you use parts of it, but do you feel like they're kind of the old ways, like the sad diet type teachings, and then you kind of veer off of that? Or do you feel like there's a lot of pieces that you got through school? Because I feel like you hear a lot of that, like that's the old ways, but then this. And
yeah, I think the school is definitely a good like basis for practicing, and nutrition therapy, like medical nutrition therapy, that's super important to know. There's so many fad diets out there, and there's always things that are changing and things that people are learning. So a lot of what we learned in school is like how to distinguish between, you know, what's just a fad diet and what is actually science, and how to actually look at research and break it down, and, you know, understand that causation or correlation does not equal causation. So it definitely gave me a good like background, but I learned the most when I did my nutrition internship and actually was hands-on with it and saw it firsthand. And then over the last 4 years, just I'm constantly growing, constantly learning more. There's always more education, more research out there. So it's really just an evolving practice.
Plus, okay, you probably have to keep up with the fad diet so that you can kind of debunk them, if you will.
Exactly.
Sure. Okay. Yep. Yeah. Whole30, is it a fad diet?
I mean, I think the name is anything that's going to restrict major food groups. I just think is really fatty. Fatty with a D.
Yeah. I like that. That'd be a good t-shirt.
Okay. So, right. So Whole30 is garbage,
but
right?
I think it's super important to, you know, try to get people to eat more fruits and vegetables, and, you know, some diets like that work for some people, but a one fits all is not the approach. So some people will say, oh, I've done keto and I lost this much weight, but that doesn't mean that that's good for somebody else. And usually I don't ever recommend that, because cutting carbs like that is a big no-no, and I would never tell anybody to do that unless they had a medical reason to do that. But, you know, some people do better on certain diets or intermittent fasting. It just works better with their lifestyle and it works for them. And some people, it doesn't make sense. So really, it's all personal.
So what do you think of the intermittent fasting? Because that's like a big thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fasting in general.
Popular. I think if it works with someone's lifestyle and they like it, then go for it. Some people like that rule where, okay, it's 7 o'clock and I'm not eating after 7, and maybe they were a big late night snacker. So that's a good rule for them to implement. And some people, you know, their eating window is 4 hours, and I wouldn't be able to sustain that. I wouldn't be able to get the calories that I needed in that window. So personally, I don't do it. I try to eat a little bit more intuitively and meet my calorie needs with good quality foods. But, you know, it's very individualized. Like, if it's working for someone and they like it and it's fitting with their lifestyle and it can be productive, then I don't, you know, have a problem with it.
All right. So how do you talk people off the ledge that have a romance with food? Food. Right. So like I love my food.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take it away. I want my cheese. Right. So how would you talk that person off of that ledge and be like, all right, this is not good for you, man. Like, you need to do something else.
I think it's really about finding like a balance. And if someone says, you know, I'm not willing to give up cheese or give up wine or give up cake, which that's completely reasonable. Like, who wants to go the rest of their life without cheese or the foods that they love? So I never tell anybody to restrict foods. Maybe, you know, cut back a little bit, but there's, you know, restricting major food groups or restricting things that you love is just going to make you want it more. So, you know, working around that and trying to find a happy medium there and see their willingness to change too. Cause if someone's not willing to give it up or make those changes, my job is pointless.
See, my problem is I'm very black and white. So either I'm all in or I have to be all out.
Mm-hmm. And it's already said Whole30 is garbage.
So he's saying that because I'm doing Whole30 right now, only because I was in a place where I was in the middle eating of all the time. Yeah. And so I needed to get it out of my way so that when I can kind of go.
And he's struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on day 20. I haven't cheated except for weighing myself.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm very black and white when it comes to that. So I struggle with that process. So it's very hard for me to keep the balance. So it's almost, I have to not have it at all, or I'm just going to go gluttonous pig all in. It's very, I don't know how to, I've tried my, for years to get over that. And I, for some reason, can't.
Yeah. A lot of people have, you know, their relationship with food is the biggest barrier.
Yeah.
And I struggled with that myself. So it, I can understand, and I can relate to a lot of people I work with because I had, you know, binge eating like disorder and body dysmorphia. And, you know, I was obsessed with food and I had a very, very negative relationship with food. So it took me a really long time to overcome that. And I think that actually CrossFit has been a really big help with that because I started looking at food as fuel and I stopped caring so much about how I looked and just focus on how it made me feel and the training part of it. And it completely changed my relationship.
I could see that. Yeah. Cause that was actually when I was doing CrossFit, like that's the one thing I do remember is like, I would eat the same thing every day. I basically ate strawberries, with, you know, probably not the best diet, but I would eat strawberries with, deli chicken and some nuts, like basically all day, every day. And it was very bland, but it was because I just felt like I
felt better from that, what you were doing.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was honestly just fuel. And I just looked forward to that same meal every day. It was very weird, but, and I did that for about 3, 4 or 5 months around there, but
then you gave it up.
Then
you can't,
so it wasn't sustainable. That. Yeah.
No, no, it was fine. But then, I think we just moved away and I lost, we lost our training partners and, you know, that's basically what
we weren't
happening.
Walking distance anymore.
What happened to me?
You know, and yeah.
Do you think food's an addiction? Or do you think certain people are addicted to food?
I think that people are addicted to food.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. For me in general, I don't know. I love food, but I'm, you know, a fat kid at heart all the time. But I have met certain people, I mean, and I wouldn't put myself in that category, but just like, I feel like you can see it in them that they can't give it up. You know, like I've heard stories about Ralphie May. I don't know if you know who that is. He's a big comedian. He died. And like, of like, just like hiding like hamburger wrappers or like, you know, 12 boxes of jalapeno poppers, you know, that he bought at Jack in a Box and, you know, stuff like that. And I've known people like that in my own life that will literally like drive through like the McDonald's drive through, get 4 hamburgers and then like make sure they throw away the garbage before anybody finds out about it. So how do you get over, how do you get through to somebody like that? Is it a different process than somebody like that is just normal, like I want to fix my diet?
Yeah, it's a completely different process. And that one's a lot more difficult of a case because it's so easy when someone just, you know, needs a little bit of education, a little bit of guidance, and they're willing to do it. They're ready to make that change. But, you know, working with someone who has a negative relationship with food or there's other things factoring in like guilt or shame or, you know, just like food is a comfort for them and they're eating for other reasons that are emotional and not just physical, then trying to, you know, get to the bottom of that can be very challenging.
Yeah,
I could see that. And I don't think I have to that level of addiction, but I know I've easily gotten to the point of like almost like a breaking point where then it's like all in the whole package of something. And then as soon as you're done, you're like, that was like, you feel bad, like shame yourself like for it. It sounds funny when you say like, it, but it's legit.
I shouldn't have
eaten. I can't believe I just did that. Package. But in the moment, you didn't give a shit. So you were just like, I'm eating all this and I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Now, you mentioned something, body dysmorphia. I don't know what that is.
Just like, well, I think that's the right term for it. Like, you know, self-esteem and like look, and like seeing,
you see yourself
different
than what you actually appear to others, probably. Something gotcha. Like that. Would that, I'm making a guess. Okay. I don't know if that's.
Google it. If I said it right.
Okay. No, I was like, okay, I don't know what that is.
Hey, young Jamie.
Yeah.
He's already got
so,
his phone up.
Yeah, I got it. So as far as like lifting in, did you lift in high school?
No, not really. I did some like, I would do bodybuilding type things, but in high school, most of what I was doing was gymnastics.
Okay. Which is, I feel like most gymnasts that are in it, like competing, they're really fit. No, they're always in great shape. It's like, they looks like they lift, but they're constantly practicing all the moves, I guess. But
so body dysmorphia is a mental illness involving obsessive focus on a perceived flaw in appearance. So yeah, it's self-esteem, et cetera. So
yeah.
I just didn't know what that meant.
So when was the first time you went to the CrossFit Games?
last year. So 2019 was the first year I competed there. I was on the demo team the year before, so I got to be there and demonstrate the movements. I just wasn't competing.
Oh, okay.
I was kind of like working.
Okay. That's probably got to be a cool moment.
Oh, so like, because I have watched some of the games with these two guys that dork out for it. So...
Yes, and, yes, I do.
And now, I think it's cool, you know, but I just don't know a whole lot about it like they do. Mm-hmm. So those are the people like standing there, like counting the reps and stuff too? Or is those
so are those are the people? Judges. You're asking what I did on the demo team?
Yeah, yeah.
So I actually went there a little bit early, like a week before the games, and I was with maybe like seven other people. And we were all like, we were close to making the games last year, but didn't quite make it, or some of them have been to the games. So we had the fitness levels. So they used us to test some of the workouts and figure out the logistics of workouts and actually test things and determine their last minute like weights they were going to use. So we got to test workouts, and then before they actually would do the workouts or have the competitors do them, we would demonstrate all the movements. So they needed people who could move and do the workouts that the athletes could do.
So when you do that with the demo team, you get to do workouts that are in the games, but you might not know it because you probably do other ones that don't make the cut, so to speak.
Everything we were doing were games workouts.
They already had it in there, but you just don't know the order, maybe? Are you sworn to secrecy at that point?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Man.
How far in advance are you doing these workouts before the games?
We were there like... a week before. So between a week and a few days before,
so you kind of go through the games in workout mode already.
Are you like, I want to tell you, but I can't.
Okay. Well, at that point I didn't know a lot of people and I still don't, but there's people who've been around for a long time. So they have a lot of friends that are at the games, and I'm sure it's like, hey, like what, you know, you have any info for me? Like anything I should be like faxing last minute, but we're, you know, if anything got out that we told anybody leaked any information, like it would definitely not be worth it.
No, not at all.
I would feel so guilty about it.
You should make stuff up. Yeah, mountain climbers. Lots of mountain climbers.
Okay, hold on.
Virtual shuttle.
For somebody that doesn't know the game, doesn't know CrossFit like that, whenever you're telling me this, you're like, yeah, I'm on the demo team. In my head, I was like, if they're going there, shouldn't they already know how to do this? But then you guys make a big deal about like, no, it's something that they don't know what they're doing.
So yeah, basically the way it works is.
In my head, I'm like, guys, you made it to that level. You should know what you're doing at this point.
So what you have to realize is CrossFit is basically the real mental aspect of it is that you should be ready for anything at any moment in time.
Uh-huh. Right? The unknown.
Yeah. So basically you're a generalist in the sport of fitness. Because you don't want to just be good at one thing. You want to be good at everything,
yes,
per se, or as good as you can at everything. So in the CrossFit Games, when you get to the games, you actually don't know what your workout is going to be. You get told right before you're about to compete.
Or not long before.
Yeah, not long before. Because there's heats. So if you're in heat 4, you may know as early as heat 1, but... Yeah.
In my head, like, and I've only, again, watched a limited amount of this, like, in my head, like, they're, like, doing the clings and...
The clings.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing some of those.
Klingons.
Yeah. And they're...
Saran wrap?
They're running from one place to another. Like, is there a different movement that you guys don't do that they're doing in the...
So like, it's basically, like, just... the directions of what we're going to do and the flow of the workout. So it's nice for people to have a visual. And so when they're explaining, like, here's your workout, they're showing us. And if there's anything extra, like which way we should face the rig, they're going to like have the athlete standing there because, you know, people just don't listen or they don't pay attention. So when you have that visual, it helps to
If I told you how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you might be able to do it, but if I showed you, most people are visual. I mean, seriously, it's...
Yeah.
And you want to... they show the order, they show the flow, they just make sure everyone's very, very clear on the standard so that someone can't say, well, I didn't really know that, you know, I had to get my head through, even though you should know.
You should know, but...
Is safety a part of that as well? Like, for the competitors?
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Because that's my assumption is that if somebody from the demo team gets super taxed, because it's too much shoulder, too much something, and whatever the case may be, then I'm assuming that they might alter it a little bit and be like, oh, you know what? Maybe not 50. Maybe we need to drop it down to 20.
Yeah, so last year they had a workout where you had to, like, do an obstacle course and then rope climbs and then drag a dummy. And they, I don't think they knew what weight they were going to have us use or what standards they were going to let us, you know, use on the dummy to carry them. So they just like let us go and do what we naturally want to do. And then kind of made those deciding factors of, you know, if they're going to say you can carry the dummy however you want, or you have to drag him by his shoulders, or what weight they're actually going to use for the girls versus the guys. And, you know, if no one on the demo team could get through the workout, then they probably, you know, changed the weight around a little bit.
That makes sense.
It's like a guinea pig before it happens. Make sure it works out.
Yeah, I feel like we just got some insider information.
So how many people make it to the CrossFit Games then?
Well, it's a little bit different now. It used to be top 40 men and women worldwide. And now they have the national champion of every recognized country. So there were like 150, I think, women and men.
But, okay. But they get eliminated pretty quickly, don't they?
But out of the U.S., not many, right?
Most of them are from the U.S.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So how many, like, do they drop it in half and half? Or how do they get cut off? Yeah.
So, this past year was the first year they had it. And the first day, after the very first workout, I think it went from, like, 150 to 75. And then I think 75 to 50, something like that. And then 50 to 40, 40 to 30. 30 okay. to 20.
So they drop off quick. Pretty quick.
Yeah.
To get that one workout and get cut. Oh, that's got to hurt.
Yeah.
So did you compete last year then?
Mm-hmm.
So how far did you make it last year?
I made it into the second day. I actually didn't have a great experience last year.
Okay. Did it open up a lot of doors for you though, just making it there? Well, I mean, that's still a lot even to make it to the second day.
To make it to the games is...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but even beyond that, to be top half of that, you know? Yeah. So did it open up like a lot of doors, like experiences and stuff for you just to be there?
Definitely qualifying for the games did. And then being there that first year, you know, open up the door for being on a team the next year where people actually knew my name. They recognized me. So they reached out, you know, to be on a team with them. And
can you say who's on the team or no?
Yeah. So I was the girl who I'm replacing is Alexis Johnson. She's the one who got injured. And then Emily Tanner's the other female, and then Jordan Cook and Brandon Luckett.
Okay. What team is that?
They're part of Misfit.
Misfit? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you'll be on TV this year?
If the games happen.
Listen, they're happening, all right? They're happening.
Yeah. And we'll be rooting for you.
Yes, we'll be here, and I'll be like, I know her. I know her. Yeah.
We'll go live, and we'll be like, hey.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty
I geek
awesome.
Out. Like, my whole weekend shuts down around the games. My wife gets so mad.
Yeah. So what's the coolest thing that like, is there like big parties after every day or no? Cause like the athletes are just done
at the very end. I'm pretty sure they have something, but I actually left early last year.
You said you didn't have a good experience.
Right. And I was ready to come home.
Can you talk about
that? I was pretty
that?
Burnt out by the time I got there. Just like some, you know, personal stuff during life, okay. Trying to figure that out right around the games time. And then, just feeling really overwhelmed and really nervous going into it. Maybe a little bit overtrained. I don't know. I didn't feel like that, but then I started to lose my appetite and I get really nervous competing. So I don't know why I've still been competing since I was 7 in sports and something I have to do, even though I don't really enjoy it. People say they thrive on the competition floor. I get very, very nervous. But it is always nice to have that goal and it's very fulfilling. And having something to train for. But last year I was just really nervous at the games. I was really worked up before it. I was super anxious and just, I wasn't able to really perform at my best. I had a lot of mental things holding me back and I was just ready to be done. I remember being like on my last workout and I knew that I had to do well enough to stay in it. And I just didn't even believe in myself at that point. I was like, I'm going to be out after this. And that's just not a good mindset. That's not usually one that I have. I'm usually pretty like confident in myself and fired up about it. And, you know, I'll give it my all. And I just felt like I wasn't able to push it. And I was disappointed in my performance and my effort, which is something I don't like to feel.
Do you feel like from that, obviously a big learning experience, do you feel like you're able to overcome those things and kind of get to a better place now to build off of them?
I think I know where I need to be. I don't know if I can like avoid that. I don't know like how to overcome that, but I know like, I know that I need to not have the pressure on myself. Cause when I go into something without the pressure and don't care about how I place. I can just lay it all out on the floor. But I went in like feeling just a lot of pressure that I put on myself and feeling like I was going to let people down. And that just wasn't a good place for me. So I was so worked up from the beginning that I wasn't able to perform. And I didn't care so much about the placing, but the fact that I didn't put in the effort that I knew I was capable of was really hard for me.
Well, you said that, you know, speaking of the pressure there, you said that just making the games opened up a lot of doors for you. Like, did those doors that got opened up, I assume, you know, that might be, you know, stuff that you might be able to do in the future or something. Did that put pressure on you?
Well, it's stress, right?
Yeah. And I think, you know, just a lot of people looking up to me and expecting certain things. And I performed so well in the Open that year because I went into it almost not doing it because I had been injured the month before. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll do the Open and just see how it goes. So I didn't care about how I was going to place. Of course, I cared, but I wasn't expecting to make the games that year. And I was just doing the workouts, and I actually had a little bit of fun with them. And I did the best I'd ever done in any competition.
What'd you place?
On the Open, I was finished 17th. Oh,
wow. Damn. Okay. In the U.S.?
In the world. Or in the
worldwide.
And so I think also I went in thinking like, okay, I have to be 17th or better. Like, I just had it in my head that I needed to finish 17th or better.
Yeah. And okay.
I just didn't. I just wasn't there.
It's so easy to get in your own way mm-hmm. with that type of thing, I think. Yeah. I mean, it's no fault to anybody. Yeah. And to your own, it's just that it's easy to start getting that. And once it gets in that in your brain, you can kind of keep grinding at it, and it really gets in the way.
And on top of that, then it's like, oh, now I have these guys chasing me. Right? So now you're like, oh, crap. I can't let them catch. I could see that. I could totally see it. But yeah, you did it for you.
Yeah.
Right? F everybody else. Kenzie, all right? F everybody else. It's fine.
So once you made it to the games, like, and did, like, your personal, like, I'll say your personal brand, like, yourself, like, your social media accounts and stuff, did they start getting bigger and kind of blowing up at that point, or?
A little bit. It's kind of been slow and steady. In the middle of the Open, CrossFit Games reposted me, and then I got, you know, a lot more followers on Instagram from that because a lot of people realized who I was. Mm-hmm. And then I think being at the games and, you know, having some other like companies sponsor me or like look into me, like I want to, you know, work with this athlete. That definitely helped for sure. And just the exposure, you know, being there, being able to say that I went to the games and made it to that level is definitely good for, you know.
Now, is that an added level of stress and stuff, though, to have to, like, now you have to keep up with those social media accounts or do you have somebody that does that for you?
No, I do it myself, and it is somewhat stressful, and when I have a lot of, like, obligations and stuff like that, it does add some stress. So at times it's been tough, and I've had to take a step back and be like, this is just Instagram, like, who cares?
Yeah.
Sometimes I get, like, a little bit overwhelmed with the, like, responsibilities, or if I have to post something, or, you know, that everyone's expecting me to compete again because I competed last year. And so I just, you know, at one point I was like, I'm just going to put a post that like, I'm not there. I'm not ready. And everyone was very supportive of it. So I definitely get in my head a lot about it and feel like overwhelmed about it. But in the end, like, it's just Instagram, like that stuff doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's very understandable.
Yeah. No, cause I think people understand when you're just being you. Right. And actually, I feel that people enjoy that way more than when.
Yeah, they definitely appreciate that more. Just knowing it's just you being you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You being you versus trying to just put something out to put something out.
Yeah. Right? I got a lot of support when I came out and said, you know, I'm taking some time off. I'm not going to compete because, you know, when I came home from the games, everyone was like, how exciting was that? Like, did you have so much fun? That's so cool. What are your plans for competing? And I just felt obligated to be like, yeah, I had a great time. I don't know yet. Like, I'm planning on this competition. And I felt like I was going to disappoint people if I was like, you know, I really had a crap time at the games and, you know, it was not a good experience and I don't know if I'm going to compete. I felt like that was going to disappoint people. But when I was just like, hey, I think I need some time off. Like, it was really hard on me. Everyone was super supportive, and I shouldn't be so bothered by what other people are thinking, but I felt like I was letting, you know, friends, family, followers who I inspire, I felt like I was letting them down.
Yeah. But I mean, if they're really like somebody that is inspired by you, they're going to, you know, understand that. I feel like, you know, they're going to understand that, hey, like sometimes you need to take a step back. Mm-hmm. You're a real person, not just some, you know, somebody that's just posting to post, like you said.
And I think that I realized that a lot when I came back and I was, you know, really real about it. And, you know, people were supportive. And when I made the decision to compete again, people were really supportive of that too. So
yeah,
as long as I'm happy and doing what I love and what I feel is best, you know.
Yeah. So speaking of obligation, I know you have a full-time job and then you have the training. How does, and then you have social media accounts and all those things, and probably, and you said sponsorship. So there's connections there. And like, how's the life balance on that? Is that tough to juggle all that? Have you gotten to where you feel like you've gotten a pretty good rhythm back and forth with that?
Yeah, it really helps to have my own practice and have that flexibility with my schedule. If I had like a 9-to-5 job, I think it'd be really tough to get in the trainings. You know, I'd have to go early morning and late night. And now I have the flexibility to work my clients around and set like designated times for myself to train and have these like chunks in the middle of the afternoon. And so that's really helpful. I haven't like set aside a time for social media because I feel like that's silly. But then I've realized over the last few months that that's kind of part of work. And I should set a time for that because it's time consuming. And I don't want to be overwhelmed like late at night trying to get a post up or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, there are certain.
We all feel that pain in this room.
There are certain like obligations I have with that, or if I have sponsorships and, you know, I'm trying to promote my own business.
We don't feel that pain.
Yeah.
Trying to promote my own business, that I should take the time, set aside some time for that. And I've learned that, like I said, over the last few months that that's should be a priority. If I want to grow that and I want to use that to, you know, help with my business and my practice. But it's tough to juggle sometimes. The gym seems to be my like outlet where it's like social hour, except for right now. It's been very lonely since I've been able to go to the gym.
Based on when this gets released, we're in the middle of our quarantine right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of
we're under 10.
Yeah. We are under 10. There's only 4 in the room right now. Okay.
And we're 6 feet apart.
And yeah, we have hand sanitizer within hand.
We're
reach.
Good to go. Yeah.
We're good to go.
Disclaimer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So what's your wheelhouse as far as a workout?
Definitely like gymnastics stuff and a workout. I tend to do better with higher skill stuff too, rather than like just like grunt work, like just going burpees or like just hurting really, really bad that are basic movements, because I've learned through the open that a lot of people can hurt really bad and they will push themselves to that level. And I've done that before, but it helps me if there's higher skill, like higher volume gymnastics, chest bar, muscle ups, toe to bar, handstand walking. Those are workouts I really like to do.
Okay. Now, when you walked into, is Vero Beach the first like gym that is geared towards that, or maybe not anymore, right? But they used to be. Is that the first CrossFit gym that you ever walked into?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how were you with the barbell and everything? Like, you said you didn't lift in high school, right?
Right. I'd back squatted and deadlifted. So I had a decent, you know, back squat, deadlift and bench press, like those basic movements I would do at like LA Fitness and stuff. But I never snatched before. I never cleaned, never jerked. So I remember like, you know, setting up on the barbell during one of the classes, and I don't remember what it was. It was maybe we were snatching, and then, you know, I had my hands close and Wendy's like, no, your hands don't go there. It took me a really long time to figure out the difference between a snatch and a clean and a jerk. I was so confused. I was like, what's a power? What's the difference between a power and a squat? Or what's a hang? Yeah. What's a hang power?
And this is this like, is at Vero Strength and Conditioning, right?
Yeah. It took me a little while to learn that. And I had the strength, but learning the technique was very hard.
Now, when they first saw you over at Vero Strength and Conditioning, were they like, hey, you're really good. Like, you're above the, you know, our average here.
We know these guys, Larry and Jeremy, have been doing it for a long time. They're not this good. And you're just starting.
Yeah. Now, like, did they see something in you, or were you like, hey, I'm just better than everybody else here, I should pursue this?
I wasn't better than ever. There were definitely like a handful of girls that were better than me when I started there. And when I started, I was like, I want to be as good as them. They saw that I had a good base. I moved well. I picked things up quickly. I was strong. I had a decent engine, like for not doing CrossFit before, I guess, but that was my biggest weakness, biggest thing to work on over the past several years was my conditioning.
But they say the high bar with gymnastics is like one of the worst workouts you could ever do as far as like grueling, right?
Like it's hard. You mean like
that?
No, am I incorrect? Is it easy?
You mean like for like a high, like conditioning like purposes?
Yeah.
I mean, I've definitely done CrossFit workouts that have like hurt a lot worse than that.
Okay.
Like I've never blacked out during a gymnastics routine.
Have you blacked out in a CrossFit workout?
Yeah.
Let's talk like, about that.
Like the curtains are closing. I don't see anything. I'm like about to pass out.
And if you're
I
still keep going all in. Die.
Okay. So what happened?
What then? Movement did that?
Yeah.
That's happened during some open workouts. Those are.
Because they put the weight low enough for anybody, but then your high skill, your it's high strength, terrible. They can go engine galore and it puts you in a place that's hard to get to.
Yeah. I've done a lot of really hard workouts in my life, like a lot of things that are really hard, but the hardest workouts I ever remember, there's like five or six of them and I can just like, I remember the workout exactly. Most of them are just, you know, I can't tell you what I did last week for a workout, for a Metcon or conditioning workout, but there's like a handful of things that I'm like, that was the worst thing I've ever done in my life.
Would you do it again?
Yes.
Not by choice, right?
The thing though, like I have, and I'm like, this is the worst I've ever hurt. Like I'm crying on the, like I'm what's sobbing the one? On the floor. And
you said you remember them. So what's the number one?
I would say the worst I hurt was this past open or 2019 open, 19.4 and then 19.5.
Okay.
Doing a bad, because a week later.
19.4 was really bad. I hurt worse than that, than 19.5, but I only had to do 19.5 once.
I was going to say, did you redo?
I redid all of them except for the last one.
Okay.
What was the movements?
On
19.4.
19.4 was like a light snatch and burpee over bar, and then it was bar muscle ups and burpee over bar.
Okay. I could see that.
Yeah.
Burpees, yeah.
Yeah, burpees and over bar.
The up and down, too.
And the
high.
And the muscle
what
ups.
What is burpee over bar? What is
so that? Go ahead.
You do a burpee, and then you have your barbell set up, so you're facing your bar, and then you jump over the barbell, and then turn and face the bar and do another burpee.
I've seen this, yes.
Yeah.
So what is it just timed, and then you do as many as you can in that time, or you just do as many as you can until you pass out?
It was a total
whichever
number,
comes first.
It was a total number of reps, and your score was your time.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I got
one was four times.
So it was like how many over time? How many times did you have to do it then?
I think that the first part was like two rounds of. I don't remember the exact reps, so maybe I'm lying about remembering the workouts. I remember the workout. Yeah, I don't remember exact reps.
Yeah.
It was like maybe 15 and 12 or something close to that of snatches and burpees. And then the bar muscle for 10 and 12 or something.
Okay. And you're just doing that as fast as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you remember. So you passed out.
Not that one. I didn't pass out from a workout, but I've like started to like my eyes are rolling in the back of my head and I'm like, everything's going dark.
So you stop, take like two, three breaths, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's close enough.
Yeah. Okay. Breathe in fire. You're good.
But those are the ones that you remember. You're like that, like no matter how you place, you're like, that was the hardest I've ever pushed myself. And like, I'm happy with no matter what the outcome.
Yeah. I remember a few workouts where like I would go inside because I would work out in my garage always. So I would work out, go in my living room and like just lay down on the carpet because I was trying to get air and coolness, and I'd be there for like an hour and I couldn't recover.
That's the worst, is just laying there.
Yeah, like everything's tightening up, making it harder to get up.
Everyone says, they're like, get on the bike. I'm like, I can't. No. I can't move.
I left help it, me. I left it all there.
That's a hard pass. That's a hard no. Okay.
I'm pretty sure I have rhabdo again.
Yeah. So, all right. So I gave Corey rhabdo one time. So he came over. So this is when like
you introduced him to CrossFit.
I introduced him to CrossFit
the wrong way.
And honestly, like we were working out, right? And we got done with the first workout, and when I was doing like multiple workouts because I was just doing multiple workouts. So I told Corey, I was like, you should go home. Corey's like, no, I'm gonna work out with you again. And I was like, are you sure? Because like,
I'm pretty hard headed.
Because it was like a pretty hard workout. So I was like, okay, well I'm not gonna tell you. If you know your body better than I do, so if you feel you can do it. Okay.
Now, mind you, I hadn't worked out in like probably 6 months at this point.
And I remember this workout because
I was a decent athlete like through high school, you know, nothing great, but I'd always been athletic.
Yeah.
And so I was like, anything you can do, I can do better.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we did the first workout.
He didn't check his ego on that.
And then the second workout was just like, it was just like, it was part of like endurance, CrossFit endurance. Mm-hmm. And I was doing a 1 minute on, 1 minute off, just running for 20 minutes, right? So you run as hard as you can for a minute, walk for a minute, run. Mm-hmm. And I did that, and I remember that specifically because we got back to the house, and Corey's just he's sitting in the car. It was like a Bronco or like a Jimmy. It was like an SUV. It was a Jeep. Yeah, yeah. And he was just sitting there. And I was, because he actually, I think he went back early.
Yeah, I turned around.
You turned around.
And came back.
And when I, when we got back, it was like 20 minutes later. We got back and Corey's still in the Jeep. And I was like, you all right? He's like, yeah, my kidneys just hurt.
No, I wasn't hurting then. I was just like, ow. Like I was like, did not feel good.
Okay. And
I've been.
It's hard to come back from that.
Yes. I've been in a really bad car accident. So I back like. My T8 and T9 are crushed. So I have back pain like all the time, but I try not to let it affect me. So I went to work that night and like my back was just killing me. And I was like, I thought I did something to my back during the workout, you know? So I was just like, so I called my boss. I said, boss, I got to go home. Like my back, and I never have gone home early. Like I feel like if I make it to work, I'll just like go through the rest of the night, you know? So I go home and I crawl into bed with my wife and I'm like, babe, my back is like destroyed. Like it is hurting so bad. Like I got ejected out of a car and crushed my vertebrae. And that's how bad it hurt. Like that kind of pain. I'm like, I don't know what I did. So I went to the doctor the next day and I said, doc, like, I don't know what's going on with my back. And they thought it was pill shopping. And I'm like, listen, I don't want any pills. Like, there was something wrong with me. And then I start like puking in his office, but like dry heaving. Like I was like, doc,
like he really wants something these pills.
Really wrong with me. He said, and he wasn't, it was horrid. He wasn't going to do nothing until I started like puking in his office. And he's like, well, let me check your urine. And I don't know whether he was drug testing me or something, you know, cause I know a couple of their, you know,
did it come out black?
Trade secrets. No, it wasn't black that I remember, but I was in a lot of pain. And then he said, he came back and I think it's creatinine, I think, that your body's not getting rid of or something.
I don't remember that.
It's something like that, that your body's not getting rid of. And he said, it is extremely high. Like, is your wife staying with you? If not, like, I need to admit you to the hospital right now. Like, because, like, there's something wrong with your kidneys. So then he sent me to the kidney doctor the next day and he's like, yeah, you got rhabdomyolysis or rhabdomyolia or whatever.
Right. Right. And then
apparently Larry's like, oh yeah, they told us to look out for that when they certified us in CrossFit.
Yeah,
like,
but
Dick,
I did. I told you to go back, but you decided not to. Yeah.
You didn't say, hey, this could give you rhabdomyolysis. Yeah.
I didn't feel I needed to do that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the story.
That's my CrossFit story.
That's pretty intense.
That's why he has come back.
One and only CrossFit experience.
Yep.
He was probably. I don't think. We went and worked out with Rob.
Yeah. Yeah, we have. Rob didn't give him.
Rob gave me the baby bar.
Yeah.
PVC pipe.
Yes. He said, here, wait. He gave me the real one first, and he said, wait.
You've had rhabdo.
Wait a second. Let me fix this. Here's the PVC.
He's a smart trainer.
Yeah.
And he knew his client.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, he knew his client. I was just like, I'm going to work out. Do you want to join me? Okay. Let's work out.
So to bring us back.
Yeah.
You're training for team. Mm-hmm. Do you have to go through the open for that as well? And like, do you have to each place individually for that in order to go, or is it?
Well, luckily for me, they already qualified before because I was the alternate.
Okay.
So they all did the open, but I don't think they had to. They actually went to a competition. I think they went like December and they won that one. So they qualified through a sanctional.
Okay.
So they already qualified and for me, I was just listed as their alternate, so I don't have to do anything. I'm just a free ticket to the games.
So the game, so you're there as long as it's still in play. You guys are there.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
So the girl that got hurt, is she like, is she mad at you or is she happy for you? Like,
she's probably mad. I'm assuming she's mad, but not like at you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure
like
that's
you didn't
tough.
Even work like I did, you know, like. She's
like, you bitch.
Yeah, that's.
I'm misfit.
I mean, she put me as the alternate. Like, okay. I'm sure she wants what's best for her team, but I'm sure she's really bummed that it's not her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Now, what happened to her? Do you know?
Or can you say? She ruptured her Achilles. doing box jumps. It's going to be a minute.
It takes
box
jumps.
But she's still like working out in a boot, like doing all
anything
this,
she can.
Yeah.
Very
legless rope climbs and everything else.
Yeah. Very CrossFit style. Let me, like, I just got to keep going. Right? I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I appreciate. Because it's funny, because when I was doing CrossFit, I remember somebody, you probably know him, Jason Nance. Mm-hmm. He works out at the gym, but I used to work with him at the hospital, and we would he was like a big into marathons, and I think he did a Ironman. Mm-hmm. And he's just like an animal with like running and stuff. And I remember telling him, I was like, I feel like I can do a marathon. I was like, I'm not gonna be like as fast as you, but I can do a marathon right now. And he would be like, no way. But like my confidence was like, I can finish it. I can definitely do it. Mm-hmm. I don't see why not. Yeah. But that's just the mentality of the CrossFitter.
You get like that. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Because you just feel like you can run through that pain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So have you ever done the workouts like the CrossFit in the seas, the cruise?
No.
The what?
Yeah.
Oh, where they have cruises specifically for like, CrossFit athletes and stuff.
Have you ever heard?
Yeah.
Not right now.
I'm going to chime in here and say that sounds like an awful cruise.
Well, I'm not doing it because...
Like a lot on the waves or something.
I think you're right. A lot on the waves. So no?
No.
They should invite you to that. You should be like the celebrity.
If I had like a free ticket, I'd probably go.
Yeah.
Me too. For those listening.
Me too. But honestly,
waddle on the waves.
I'm not doing a waddle.
I think they're all free tickets right now on cruises.
I'm going to waddle out though. Now, what about the workout down in Miami? That one's like a big one, right?
Waddapalooza.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've competed there 3 years.
Okay.
Not this last year, though.
Not this last year?
Right.
Okay.
This year.
As far as competitions are concerned, besides the games, because that's the games,
mm-hmm.
What's your favorite one? Or do you want to say?
Yeah, I think, well, I haven't done a lot. I haven't done like a lot of different competitions besides the Open and the regionals and games and Waddapalooza. Like, that's all I've done. When I first started, I did a couple like local ones, just like normal little local competitions for fun. But the only like major ones I've done are, besides anything CrossFit Games related, is actually Waddapalooza. And that one's a blast. It's all like outside. There's a lot of really good energy.
A lot of people go to that one, I think.
Yeah,
that's a big one.
Stacked. The competition's stacked.
I did one up in Melbourne, the Banjo Beatdown.
That's right, the Banjo Beatdown.
It doesn't sound the same at all. I don't even know anything about this. But that doesn't even sound like
that one
like
is way, this one was very small, local kind of feel. But it was...
That clothing company.
I forget who they were, but they had a series, and it was the closest one.
Yeah,
and at that time, I felt like,
It was at the Maverick.
CrossFit Maverick up
right
there.
Okay, what she was doing sounds like
legit. But you, I was trying to finish my sentence.
Here's the thing,
I'm gonna keep talking because no one's gonna listen to me.
At Waddapalooza, not so much.
The competitions are fun. That's what I was trying to say. Just the environment and the feel of it are really cool.
Yeah,
that's what I was trying to get
to. The banjo beatdown,
it was fun.
Yeah, because Waddapalooza, you have to be invited, right?
You have to do a qualifier.
I was not invited. Yeah. I just kind of signed up.
You have to do a qualifier, or you can get invited if you've competed at the games. They'll send you an invite.
That's cool.
Did you get to say hi to TM?
Have you interacted with Tia Meter?
Talked to her, but I've competed with her.
Tia, if you're listening, next time you see McKenzie.
When you listen.
You know.
Say what's up.
No, she is a beast, though. She's legit.
Yeah. Yeah, she's awesome. Now, Frazier versus Froning. Who would win?
I feel like you're
Frazier.
Yeah, you're post kind of
Frazier?
Froning.
Yeah. He's
Wait, what are we talking about?
Like he's unbeatable.
Yeah, but so is
Look at him. He's won.
See,
four
you got to listen to where you're going here.
I know.
She started in 2016.
It's like Jordan LeBron.
Froning is like the old guy now.
It's like Jordan LeBron type of conversation here, right?
Yeah. I would love to see him, like you always do, like, right? You can't see him compete against each other when they're both at their best.
I think now Frazier would win.
Definitely.
Because
he's competing for championships. Definitely.
Yeah, versus team. But
you maybe will see Froning in the team
and people,
right next to him.
And people just evolve too. So.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree. Ways. Awesome.
Either way, I hope the games do happen and good luck in them.
They're going to happen.
They're going to I feel it too. It's
what I want to be saying.
You know, the Olympics were too sleep.
I know her.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll put a McKenzie shirt on. Reebok.
Yes.
All that stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So McKenzie, thank you for coming on to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
as a last question, what is something that you can, based on your life experiences, what is something you can impart upon our listeners, if I can get it out?
Lifting heavy does not make you bulky.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I like it. Thank you so much.
And before we do stop completely, where can our listeners find you if they want to follow you, see what's going on with you, your training, your dietitian?
Most of my training and stuff I post is on Instagram. My name is Mackenzie Grace Fit on there. And
spell it for him.
MckenzieGraceFit. And then my nutrition practice is Flexible Dietetics. I do have a Facebook page, but most everything I post is on Instagram. That's nutrition or fitness related, training related.
Now, if somebody wants to get some good diet advice, where how would they go? Would it be through Facebook?
They can go to, if they go to my Instagram, there's a link to my website on there. My website is called flexibledietetics.com.
Okay.
All right, guys. Make sure you check it out for sure.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, guys, as always, if you've got any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at fullgorillalife@gmail.com.
And if you want to see what's going on social media, you can find us on Facebook and on Instagram at fullgorillalife and on Twitter at gorillafull.
And please visit our website, fullgorilla.life, and please hit subscribe on your podcast app of choice.
Later.
Adios.